Hi everyone, welcome to the B2B Sales Podcast. I'm Thibaut.
And I'm Ara.
Every second and fourth week of the month, we interview thought leaders, experts, or top performers in B2B sales.
During 30 to 45 minutes, we will deep dive into topics like modern prospection, pipeline management tactics, or innovative sales tools to help you navigate the complex world of B2B sales.
We're on a mission to change the way society sees sales. This profession is one of the most rewarding ever, yet many people are afraid to do sales or they choose this career by default.
So get ready for your dose of sales wisdom and enjoy the show. Hello, Asa. How are you doing today? Can you hear me?
Yeah. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Yourself?
Good, good. Thank you very much.
Great. No, thank you, actually. Thank you for joining me on this call. And I'm really, really happy to be talking to you today. I think before that we dive into today's conversation, it would be great if you could maybe introduce yourself and tell me a little bit more about your background.
Sure. So my name is Asa and I'm head of outbound sales here at Lusha. Lusha is a B2B contact information database. It's basically a plugin that sits on LinkedIn, and every time you look at the profile, you immediately see a person's phone number and email, accurate data. So it's very much a tool for SDRs / BDRs. I've been working in high tech for the last 4 years. Before that, I owned my own businesses and I've done business development there. So naturally, when I started joining the high tech world, I went straight there to business development myself. And I've been training and building teams of SDR, BDRs for the last 4 years. I built outbound team in companies like Sibo and Sisense and Lusha itself. And now I just moved to be head of sales in the last few months.
I just saw it. And congratulations for that. I wish you all the success there.
Thank you very much.
No, and actually, exactly as you said, and I think that was the first and main reason why I actually approached you, because of your experience on business development and how you've been building up teams. So maybe I would like to ask you, firstly and foremost, what's actually what brought you into leading business development teams?
So I guess I've been doing business development all my life. Business development, as far as I'm concerned, is sales 101. To get somebody on the phone and to make him or her do something or commit to something they didn't want to do before, it's not an easy task, and it's maybe not sales per se. We don't exchange value for money in the BDR world, but in order to do the job, you need very high sales abilities. You need to create connections with people. That's what I've been doing all my life. And then when I started for about 4 years ago with a company called Sibo, I came as an account executive, and I needed to build or book my own meetings. And I've built a process over that, and I started doing it very well. And I built kind of a predictable process when I know exactly how much time to give in order to book meetings. So if I want to book 3 meetings a week, I need to give that amount of time. And that's how I divide my time. And my boss looked at it and said, listen, this is a very good process. Let's build an SDR team around you. And that's what we did. So I started building an outbound SDR team, hiring and using that process. And I've been doing it. I did it in 3 different companies. I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. It's faster than sales. It's it's a very fast turnover, and it's very challenging, but the sure. reward is pretty imminent.
Exactly. And I actually think that the fact that you were working as an account executive, but also doing the BDR, SDR work, doing the whole process, understanding how it works, how you should approach to the prospects in the first time, it actually gives you a little bit of the base or the knowledge of what's actually the main goal of approaching someone, right? In order to make them being interested about a product, a service, etc. So saying that, what do you think is actually the main goal you have towards your BDR team? I mean, there's many goals happening, you know, some people are like really based in KPIs, some people are, you know, mostly about motivating the team. What's actually what you think that should be the main goal within a BDR, SDR team management?
Amazing. So I would love to talk about the KPIs later and the motivation later. I think that the main goal, as far as I'm concerned, or main objective for the BDRs are to build a healthy pipeline that converts into a dollar amount.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not easy to book meetings, but it's very doable. Okay, a lot of people do that. I can book meetings with a lot of people in there. For example, if I'm going after an organization, I can build. I can book meetings with a lot of people in that organization. The question is how to book the meeting with the right person, find the right timing to book that meeting, ask the right questions so the salesperson will come prepared, and how to dive deeper into the discovery to get actually quality answers and real answers and intentions from the prospect. I think that's my main goal. How to convert the healthy pipeline into a dollar amount, because at the end of the day, that's how you justify the SDR. If the lead that he's bringing in, then those meetings convert into opportunities / money.
Of course, and I think you're completely right. Sometimes companies are more focused on numbers, you know, just like booking numbers, and there's a lack of understanding of how important to have a second approach is. So it was exactly as you mentioned. I think KPIs are really important to measure this. And are you actually tracking right now KPIs or OKRs for your team, or have you been doing it?
You have to. Everybody is data driven these days, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, completely. Right. And how is it actually working? So what are your main KPIs, and how are you, you know, working towards them?
So my main KPIs, I think I will start with the numbers of leads or companies to prospect. So in the unbound world, the world is open to your fingers, and you need to your fingertips, and you need to find the right people to call. So the first thing you do is you want to find your ICP, ideal customer profile, and say, okay, I'm going after enterprise company or small medium or SMB companies, 1,000 employees in computer software, etc. You find your ICP, and then how many companies do you put in your pipeline every week? This is something that I track, because the more companies you put, it's a big number, and the more companies you put in your pipeline, the more chances you have to close to book meetings. But
for
at
sure.
the same time, if you put too many companies, then you're not really targeted, and maybe those companies or those meetings do not convert to a dollar amount. So my rule of thumb is to prospect hard and 10 companies per week, and about five prospects for each company. Okay, it depends on if it's enterprise, of obviously along more. If it's more business, maybe less. But this is so it comes up to 50 to 60 leads per week.
Okay.
And the first,
that's a great
the
number.
First thing. I'm sorry?
No, I said that's a great number.
Yeah, and then the first thing we do is we connect with people on LinkedIn. This is very hard to track. There's no really tracking mechanism for that. It's really manual, but we try to find out more or less what is the response rate. We do not try to sell anything on LinkedIn. We just connect with people. And then obviously the first email, we check the open rate. This is something we work on every day. This is a very, very important KPI. We have emails that their open rate is over 40%, about 10% reply rate, about 10%, 15% click rate. These are very important in order to build up for the call.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which brings me to the next KPI, which is how many calls do we make a day? As far as I'm concerned, a good outbounder will make over 50 calls a day, which is attempts. I'm more more important to me is the meaningful conversation they make or how many contacts they're actually reached out to, and not the number of attempts, because I can call the same company 5 times and then it's not really going to help me in reaching my goals. So number of meaningful conversations a day, I would say 10 or 15, between 10 to 15.
Correct.
That's what I'm looking for. Which should generate to 5 meetings per week. This is my next KPI.
Okay.
So you call 50 people, around about 10 people will answer, right? And then 5 people will tell you, no, I don't want to talk to you right now. 5 people, 3 people maybe will tell you, listen, I can't talk right now. 2 people will talk to you, maybe 1 will say yes. I found out that in the last 4 years, the data that I have with SDRs and myself, I can generate 1 meeting per day per BDR. And it's a quality meeting. It's a very good meeting in outbound motion. Inbound is a different animal that we can talk about later if you would like. And again, I'm measuring everything. For me, measurement and data is the most important thing because it creates efficiency. So I'm
exactly
checking how many meetings we, how many from those 10 companies per week, how many meetings we booked. So my number right now is 40%. So 4 out of 10 companies book a meeting with me or with my guys. These are the hard numbers, but I think they're not bad. We keep on improving them. I think that using Lusha, the company that I'm working right now, really up my game because it gives the right number, the right phone numbers, and I can reach the right amount of people, and I make more meaningful conversations. The tools that I'm using help me to help me send the right emails at the right time to build up for the call. The way I look at outbound is everything I do is a build up for the call. My verbal abilities are the most important that I have, and I don't expect the prospects to answer my emails. I don't expect them to write me back on LinkedIn. I don't expect them to see my name many times. So they see my name in the subject line. They see my name on LinkedIn. Maybe I left them a message. So when I do call them, they know who I am. Right? So that's so all these tools are helping me create efficiency and reach my targets.
So do you think that actually having a first contact with the prospect, rather by email, LinkedIn, before calling that person is actually a good strategy? Or do you also believe in like just calling straightforward? Because I understood with Lusha, it's way easier to actually get the right number with the right person. So what do you think is best? To come up and say hello?
So
yeah,
it really depends on the person. If you're a verbal person, you like to call people, just call right ahead. I'm really, this is something I do with my employees. I give them the freedom. I give them all the tools for success, and I give them the freedom to choose what's best for them. I have people that book 1 meeting a day using LinkedIn mostly. The way they do it is a tip is they endorse people. Somebody's connecting with you, you start endorsing them. What happens when you endorse somebody? They ask you, Asa just endorsed you for business development. Would you like to say thank you? And then that's how you start a conversation because the prospect actually started a conversation. So they're very good at that. Some people have emails that have 40% of opening rate and no reply rate. I think that my best practice, and this is a personal choice again, is LinkedIn first, call second, and then email, because the first email should be somewhat personalized and it takes a long time. So if you can reach a person and skip that personalization and the email, it will save you time also.
I totally agree with you. I think that now like social media are giving us the opportunity to reach out to people, like as you mentioned, LinkedIn right now. I believe it's a great opportunity to do the first touch, or at least for people to say, hey, I exist, here I am. But as far as you mentioned, I believe that you give a lot of autonomy to your team to basically create their own methodology in order to how to approach to contacts, right? So you basically give them all the scope and then they decide where to start from.
Right. So I think that the method that works best is the one that works.
Yeah.
There's no one way to outbound. People are different. and everybody uses a different method. Again, I can give them all the tools for success, and they will take it on a personal level as long as they reach their KPIs. If they do reach 5 to 7 meetings per week, I really don't care if they do it while using LinkedIn or phone. What I will do is I will sit with them, see what they do, and how to improve that process.
Correct. And I think they're also like motivating within themselves, right? Because I also believe that that's good. When you see someone that's actually achieving their KPIs and actually overachieving them, always getting to their target, the other ones sometimes start feeling a bit frustrating or wanted to do exactly the same as the other person, and that may not work for them. So in this case, like motivation comes into place. How do you think a BDR team is actually motivated, and how you keep them at their edge and always like giving and pushing more? As you said, BDR is also a job that's you have to be there all the time. You have to put everything you can every day. So how would you say a motivation works within BDR team?
Right. So first of all, it starts with the hiring process. It's exactly right what you just said. You need to come motivated every day. And this is something I say in the interview. Before they even start talking about themselves, I thought, this is the BDR world. You need to come motivated with a smile every day and fail and come again and fail and come again. And it's not that easy. And the people I hire are as such that I'm looking for people that can know how to fail and get up again.
For sure.
And then the first thing I do, and again, the first thing I do is I let them solve their own problems. At the beginning, when a new hire comes in, I don't answer hard questions in the first 3 days. I let them read, I let them get familiar with the process, I get them familiar with the pitch, and I let them build their own pitch and get familiar with the actual product.
Yeah.
Once they do that, I come and I say, okay, this is what, tell me what you learned. And this teach my employees to solve their own problems. If in the first 3 days of the job, you don't answer hard questions and let them figure it out, they will get used to it. It comes to motivation later on when they don't ask you every question along the way and you don't need to answer it. They get freedom. All of a sudden they say, all right, this guy trusts me. Mm-hmm. And trust builds motivation. I lead by example, meaning I show them how it's done once or twice, and then I try to keep always a high morale and high profile. I think that my honesty and my transparency is one of the most important features in motivation. I always give them hard news. You know, working in a startup is not easy. There are always changes. You will reach your target, somebody will raise them. And you reach them again, somebody will raise them again. You need to explain, you need to give hard answers in the right time. And sometimes this answer could be, listen, this is what we need to do right now. It's not pretty, it's not fun, but this is what the company requires. People appreciate that. People appreciate the honesty. Another thing I do is I give feedback, bad feedback right away. Meaning when somebody did a horrible call, I will say, let's talk about this call. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. Or in the opposite way, I give feedback without a but. I can sit with somebody and tell him, listen, you did a great job here and you're doing this well, and this is also great. And they keep on looking for, okay, but what does he want from me? And I say, okay, thank you very much. I give them a feedback without saying, but this goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I really believe as well that feedback is important, but bad feedback is even more important, right? Because that's when we realize where we could improve and what can we do better. And as BDR and as working as a BDR role, you always have to motivate yourself and put yourself targets, and maybe not always saying, okay, that's my KPI and that's the numbers I have to achieve, but having a mentality of, that's the numbers I have, but how am I going to achieve something further, something better, right? I think that's the amazing thing of BDR world, or the way I see it, is that you always have to motivate yourself and you always have to push for more. And that's when you also realize like what a great BDR can actually can actually be. And as you mentioned, as a result, give some good numbers and convert prospect to dollars to the salespeople.
Right. I'm also a big believer on work-life balance, and work is not the most important thing in life. It's really important to succeed in your job, but you can't put it only as the only thing you do. And we have in our team meetings every Monday, we usually somebody else presenting something, or I bring a TED talk that is not related to the SDR work, but mm-hmm. related to a job, related to something else in sales. So we keep the conversation always as a learning conversation, and not only as this is what I need to do right now, and this is how I'm going to reach my targets. I don't want to talk to anybody until I reach them. The conversation, when there's an open conversation, and not only on the job that you do all the time right now, it's really gets the guys and the team to get in a really good pace and really a lot of fun. We try to have a lot of fun. I always play with on the line of having fun at work and having too much fun at work. And the guys love it because, as you said, the BDR world is hard. You need to give your best at all time, and it's kind of an entry level sometimes, and you need somebody to keep you up. And that's,
exactly.
I feel like that's my job.
And as you said as well, I mean that arriving to the work and the office with smile or like happy, that also gives an impact on your performance, right? So I think that having a balance is always good. And I'm really happy to hear that you also like give some motivation aside from sales itself or the BDR role, but also just how we should motivate ourselves as persons and just have a balance in everyday's life. Yeah, exactly. And actually, as you mentioned now, sales is kind of a different department from BDR. And I understand now that you mm-hmm. have become head of sales. What do you think is the main difference between, you know, managing a BDR team and managing now a sales team?
Well, these days, it's really separate. It's a whole different world. Sales is more about next steps, and it's a longer cycle, and it's listening more to the product market fit, and mm-hmm. It's just a lot more complicated as far as the conversation goes. You need to dive deep into the product. Sometimes the product is very technical.
For sure.
And it takes a long time. Sometimes you need the sales engineer. So there's a lot of moving parts. I do think that if you want to succeed in sales, it'll be very beneficial to you if you'll be a BDR first. Because a BDR can make connections with people immediately. Yeah, BDR knows how to follow up very, very well. And most salespeople I see these days don't really know how to follow up. A BDR knows how to write notes, and that's super important. Salespeople don't really like to write. I'm not on myself, I don't like to write either. But it's something that I build and I do because the way I look at a BDR, it has two hats. One is the manager and one is the BDR. So when I call somebody, I'm the BDR, but then I write notes as a manager to myself later. This guy likes the product, but. Mm-hmm. And in order to be a very good salesperson, I think those BDR skills will go a long way.
Exactly as you mentioned, and I think that the people that have been BDR before going into sales understand a little bit more on how to ask or how to qualify someone better, and how to go a little bit more deep into if whatever is that we're selling or whatever is that we're proposing, it's a fit for the customer. And that's something really important to do. And I think that's one of the biggest roles of BDRs, you know, sending or giving some leads to sales, but leads that are already qualified. And for that, as you mentioned, there's a lot of skills needed. And it's great that you're building that within your team. So what do you think would you be doing maybe the same or differently now in these two different positions? Will you change completely your strategy now with sales? As you mentioned, it's a complete different department. Or will you put a little bit of this BDR, techniques into how salespeople work with their prospects?
Right. So first of all, I believe in my this is who I am. I believe in my process and I believe in my managing strategy. So I'm not gonna change a lot. I will say that because of the nature of the role, salespeople are more are very incentivized by money, and BDRs are less incentivized by money because they understand it's an entry level and they need to make a name of themselves before they make the big bucks. So this is something I think that changed a lot for me to how to incentivize people a little bit with money. But other than that, do I treat the salespeople just like I treat the BDRs? They need to follow up well. They need to make the right amount of calls. They need to have the right conversations. I listen to their demos. I make sure that they say the right things. Look, Lucia at the end of the day is not a complicated product, so I can be with them all along the way and actually tell them this was good, this was bad. I use tools in order to help me monitor all of that. But yeah, I'm not changing that much.
Okay. No, and that's actually great because you already had, as you mentioned, both of the sides of the story. And I think that sales is something completely different, but also could anyway use some of the techniques that you've been doing so far. And what would you say is the biggest challenge itself for you now? What will be your biggest challenge in terms of sales management? Do you have something in mind already?
Right. So first of all, there are a lot of changes in a startup. I think that's always the biggest change. We were going after enterprise companies and now we're going after small business and we're gonna start going after medium size. And those strategies are different. I think this is the biggest challenge to any startup. How to adapt to these challenges and how to keep the guys motivated and hit their targets with those changes. Those are the challenges usually, but with the people I hire, and again, I try to hire people that know how to adapt change and know how to fail, sometimes out of the box. By the way, one of the best hire I had was a tennis player fail every day on court, in the court, and game after game failing, it filled me to be with a smile and get up there again. And that tennis player became one of my best BDRs, and now she's in CSM. So people that can adapt to change and people can fail can help you overcome those challenges of a startup, of a moving startup. And this is my biggest challenge right now.
Okay, no, but that's actually totally understandable. As you said, it's about how to keep them on track. And
right.
I mean, I believe you're going to be like super successful now on your head of sales role. Just to finish this conversation, I just would like to ask you, what would be one of the, you know, first things or let's say tactics you would give to a BDR, like some advice you could share with them starting BDR role?
Well, the first and foremost, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. As I said before, some people go on LinkedIn, they send a connection request, and then they endorse somebody. In order to endorse somebody you don't know, takes a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. So if you just put yourself out there and don't be afraid to fail and start making calls on your first week, I think this is my best, my first and foremost advice to you. The second one is keep learning all the time. Watch movies, go to conventions if you can by yourself, if it's something close. Read books. There's a lot of good books out there these days that you can not only, if you're a salesperson, you don't need to read them, you can listen to them in audio. Like, just read as much as you can. And learn because your job keeps on changing daily. And 4 years ago, something that worked doesn't mean it works today. And you need to keep on trying to adapt to those role changes.
And I'm pretty sure in the next couple of years, many things will change, except reaching out to numbers, which is that's why Lucia is quite important to consider, correct?
Right. Lucia really changed the game for me in my previous role. That's why I moved here, because those direct numbers really changed the game for me. So I don't teach my guys how to pass gatekeepers anymore. I teach them how to show value in 15 seconds.
How would you say you do that? So 50 seconds of a pitch, you would say. Well, I mean,
15.
Yeah, got it though.
So first thing you want to do is you want to call a person by name. Hey, John. You talk about the company that you are coming from. My name is Asa. I'm from Lucia. I say a few words about the company. I give metrics, for example, and competition. For example, we work with the ABC company, which is probably a competition, helping them increase their call volume by 20%. This is something that I really try to get a value hook really quickly. So metrics, competition, name dropping in the first 15 seconds.
Right. And actually, I think that also having a little bit of background or the people we're like reaching out to, it's quite important. I mean, just taking maybe 5 to 10 minutes beforehand to understand a little bit what they're doing and what things would be the most relevant for them. I believe that's one of the biggest tricks as well. What do you think?
100%. You can call a person without knowing anything about their company.
Exactly. I think so too. Asa, thank you so much for your time today. It has been really insightful, and I'm pretty sure there's actually many people who are going to benefit for this. And yeah, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, this was very great. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Asa. We'll be in touch. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, you can go to b2bsalespodcast.com to subscribe to the newsletter. You will receive the episode in your mailbox every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. And don't forget to follow the episode on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. And finally, if you know someone who could like that episode, feel free to share it.